My dad believed in the transforming power of God's Word, truth that changes lives. Today, we begin an 8-part series on the great I Am statements of Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and drawn closer to the Lord. Let's turn to Dad's message, the bread of life.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And as I've said so many times, we're always so happy when the weekend comes around because that means all over the world. By shortwave radio, we reach 95% of the world's population. And we reach a big chunk of the world by television. And so it's just wonderful we can get together and we can talk about Jesus. That beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And today, by the way, we're going to start a series of sermons on the great I Ams of Jesus. I am the bread. That's going to be our first sermon. But before I do that, let me read just some of the letters. We get some of the most wonderful letters. I just love it. Here's one from Salem, Oregon. I sure do love that place, Salem, Oregon. Thank you for being lights in a world of darkness by sharing the good news of the salvation through Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what this world is. The Bible tells us the whole world is in total darkness. For in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. The Living Bible makes it to read like this. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. They sat in the land of death, and the light broke through upon them. And so that's what we're doing. We're bringing the light to the world, bringing the light to many people. Here's one from Rapid City, South Dakota. Listen to this. Here's, it says, this person writes, greetings and God's blessing to you and yours. I watched you since I was 9 years old. Watched you since I was 9 years old with my mom, grandpa, and grandma, who now dwell with the Lord. Since God blessed me with a new friend and a brethren who is a big help. Listen to this young man says, I've lived with seizures 39 years. For that reason, though, he knows how to talk to me, this friend does. And he helps me when I seize in public and keep out of trouble and with them. Anyway, Pastor, thank you for all you do for us. Keep up the good way, great work. God bless you. Here, this is a 9-year-old boy. He's been worshiping with us 39 years. We're only a little over 40 years old, so he must have started right about the time we started. He has seizures for 39 years, and let's just pray that God delivers him and sets him free. But if not, you know, St. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to God to remove it, and God said, no, I'm not going to remove it, see? And so we don't pray. And so now ever since I broke my leg, I broke the same leg twice, and I have to use a walker. And so I'm not praying that I can walk again. I use my walker. And, oh, it's wonderful because people see me with that, and they open the doors for me, and they say, God bless you, and they try to help me with things. And it is so wonderful that people I even owe money to are nice to me when I have my walker. So I'm not giving up that walker. But we'll just pray that this young man, that God will deliver him. If not, then we pray the Lord's will to be done. We'll always pray the Lord's will to be done. Let's see. We've got time, I think, for another one here. And that is, it's Alvarado, Minnesota. And he says, I recommend you keep that old sheep herder healthy and well. Sheep herder healthy and well. None finer present the wonderful story of Jesus and his love for us. Praise the Lord and thank you. Well, in case you didn't know it, I used to herd sheep for my dad. My dad always had sheep. We wouldn't have cows on the place. He had one cow, we milked that, and that was an ordeal, believe me. But anyway, we always had sheep, and I used to herd sheep, so I know all about sheep. And I can tell you right now, yes, they are dumb. They are dumb, dumb. And so just put that to rest. But here he says, a sheep herder. You know, sheep herders, they are just really wonderful people. And sheep herders are very stubborn. And the nice thing is they are so stubborn, when they become Christians, they won't backslide, and you can count on them. And I have two sheep herders that write to me, and I hope we get some more. And maybe we can have a sheep herders society or something. Who knows? But at any rate, we know the Lord, love the Lord, and give all the praise to the wonderful Jesus. But look at here. We have to start on this wonderful series. It's eight sermons for July and August. And it's all to do with the I Ams of Jesus. There were eight I Ams of Jesus. And this is what they were. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, and I am the vine. Jesus gave those wonderful eight I Ams. And of course, you know where this originated, this statement, I am, originated. It started out with Moses in the Midian desert, where he'd been for 40 years herding sheep. He was a sheep herder, so don't forget that. And he's out there herding these sheep, and he comes across the burning bush, and it burns and it burns, but it never burns up. And he just doesn't know what in the world to do. And so he goes over to look at it, and a voice speaks out of heaven and says, take off your sandals, you're walking on holy ground. And so then he takes off his sandals, and then God tells him, I want you, Moses, I want you to go into Egypt, and I want you to tell the people to set my people free. And Moses makes all kinds of excuses. He's just like the people today. They're always making excuses. You should do this, you should do that. Stop doing this and start doing that. And they make excuses. Even with accepting Jesus, they make excuses and they put it off. You know why people put off accepting Jesus instead of accepting Jesus right then? Why they put it off? Because the devil's there. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus, ever, ever. But he'll tell you, wait, put it off, put it off. He's smart. He's a devil, and he's smart. And that's what he'll do. And then you put it off, and you never get it done. As a matter of fact, you could accept Jesus right now if you haven't. And I'll tell you how you do it. You just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from those sins the best way I can, live for you. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. And if you make that prayer, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a child of God, and you will never lose your salvation, ever, ever. And if you want it, I got a little book on that. You can write for it. I'll give you the address a little bit later. And so Moses is there, and he's making excuses. And God tells, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh that I want you to tell him I want to let those people go. And if he asks you who sent you, you say, I am sent me. I am. So we come upon the name God gives himself. I am that I am. That's the name of God. And that's the name he gives himself. That name signifies several things. It signifies that God is self-existent. He has all the power and all the might within himself. He has power that never diminishes. He is self-existent. He needs nobody's help. We cannot say we are for what we are. We're by the grace of God. But God doesn't have to say that grace of God at all. He is grace and he is love. And so God says, tell him, I am that I am. It follows that if because he's self-existent then, that he is has self-sufficient. He's all-sufficient. He's inexhaustible. The foundation of all strength and power lies in this great God called I Am. And he is eternal and unchangeable also. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same that first day when I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old, 90 years ago, 88 years ago, I guess to be exact. I was 10 years old, and I accepted Jesus. He's the same thing. And he's like the hymn writer put it, the hymn writer, Henry Lighty. And he puts in his hymn, he puts this phrase, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And that's wonderful Jesus. and the great I am never changes. And he's faithful and true to his promises too, this great I am. And you can hang your hat upon it. You can put all your weight upon it. Christian, you can lean with all your might and on that great wonderful God, that great I am, because he's true to all of his promises. Now Israel has been raised up upon the knowledge that the great I am was God himself. And they knew that Old Testament. They were taught that testament from the day they could understand a single word. And they were taught over and over, the great I am was God himself. I am is the name of God. It was the name of deity. And listen to this. Don't miss it. When Jesus uttered these words and said, I am, the people understood that Jesus was claiming to be God Almighty. It's exactly what he was. He took the name and he says, I am. And that was the name for God. And he could do that because he's the second person of the Godhead. He is God. And he is divine. And he's just as divine as the Father and the Holy Spirit. Don't get that or don't miss that. Now, the common people didn't back off from that. But the old Pharisees, those that are the old leaders, the guys in the head part, the one that's doing the teachings and the ones that's getting up fighting Jesus and fighting God, oh, they about had a fit. The stiff-necked, heart-starched, religious leaders of that day, they went ballistic. Keep that in mind as we look at the story today. So we come to the first great I ams of the Lord Jesus, of the Bible. I am the bread of life. Listen to the conversation that leads up to that wonderful claim of Christ. They ask of Jesus, what then doest thou for a sign? That in words, they says, well, okay, you claim to be God. What do you do to show that you're God? Give us a sign, do a miracle. Now, just to show you how wicked these men were and how they were so set in their ways, they wouldn't consider a thing. They were stupid. They were so set in their ways, they wouldn't listen. Listen to this. They say, show us a sign. You know what that happened the day before and they saw it? Jesus fed 5,000 people in one group. And they says, show us a sign. See, it shows you what sin can do. It can make you so hard. And when you continue to refuse Jesus Christ, you get tougher and you get tougher. And pretty soon it shines off. You can't see the light when it shines in your face. Show us a sign. And they said in verse chapter John 6:31. They say, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven. And then they're telling him that Moses. They were talking about Moses, and they says Moses gave us that bread out of heaven. The manna, he gave them that bread for 40 years while in the wilderness. And they say that Moses gave it them, and Jesus correct them right on the spot. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread out of heaven. That's all he said about Moses. He dismisses that foolish, stupid statement that Moses did that. It was Jesus Christ. It was God in heaven. And it came from God, and here is God right here. In verse 33, Moses didn't give it to them, my Father did, and now he offers you true bread from heaven. And then they say, oh, give us this bread. They think that God is talking them about this, about the bread that they can take and put some and eat and put in their hands. You see, it's totally materialistic. Totally materialistic. And Jesus is trying to teach them there's a spiritual part to this all. You have to listen to what God is saying here. And he wants them to see that he wants them to come to a spiritual realm. And they said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Start feeding us right now so we can use this bread all the time. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger and thirst. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I wish I could tell you about it, he said. I wish you could see that I am that bread. And he's trying to get them out of this materialistic world, and he's trying to get into the spiritual part where they receive him into their heart and their life, and they just have an awful time. And Jesus is really saying, you cannot get the deepest necessities of life just through the material. Man shall not live by bread alone. He has to have the spiritual. He has to have Christ. He has to have the Spirit of God. He has to have the Son of God. He has to have more than just plain bread that he puts in his mouth. You cannot get the deepest necessities of life from the materialistic world, because that's why rich people are not happy. Many of them are not happy. And some poor people are thrilled to death because they have them. Poor people have Christ, and the rich there are trying to get all of the world things from the material things. And we have people in the movies and all that commit suicide because they have everything. They have the world, what they were, world wants. They have the Holy Trinity. They have youth, and they have fame, and they have wealth, and they commit suicide because they don't have that other dimension, that spiritual thing that God is trying to teach them about. He says, if this spiritual bread comes from down from heaven, it comes from God. And that's why Jesus said, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. And this is the Father's will who has sent me, that to all he gave me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Now, don't forget that little phrase. He says, raise it up at the last day. Listen to that. You see, when we did get in this world, we are all so materialistic, and we have to put it aside, and we have to see that there's more to that than just bread and what we eat. But there's that a part of us is made for God, and we're never going to be satisfied and it's settled until we have this wonderful God. And that's what we're doing today. And so I can tell you this, my dear friend, today, if you're unsatisfied and if you're unfulfilled and you're wishing for something could fill your life and you're running around, you're having parties and you're having your drinks and you're doing all of the other things, the crazy things of life, and here you are after doing all of these things and trying all of these things that have, you find that life is meaningless. And there's no purpose in you. It's a desert. It's a wilderness. There is nothing there that satisfies. And Jesus saying, if that is your plight, then you come to me. You take Jesus. And when you take Jesus, you take the bread of life and you live. That's what Jesus is telling them. And Jesus is telling them, you don't need to work for, you work for the meat that perishes. But now you have to come by faith, and you can find that bread that is eternal, and it's going to raise you up at the last day, because it's the spiritual, it's the things of God. Instead of the parts of the spiritual food, the bread of take the bread of heaven, partake, for that bread will satisfy your deepest needs and your deepest desires. The bread will meet your deep desires of your heart. That bread will take you to heaven when you come to the end of life. You will live, and Jesus tells us you will really interpret life. You'll find out what life is when you have this wonderful Jesus Christ. And so he says, I am the bread of life. And if you want all these things, if you're not happy where you are, you have to come to Christ. And what did Paul say? Paul said after he lived a hard life and he had nothing, Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I have Christ, and I don't need anything else. And if you don't have Christ, you can have all the world, and you'll have nothing. I am the bread of life. Search where you will. Go where you want. Do what you can. Live high, wide, and handsome. Spend your money like water, or miser it up in huge, glittering stacks. Count out your stocks and bonds and store them in your safety deposit boxes. Measure your land by the sections. You're never going to have that hunger satisfied until you have the bread of life, Jesus Christ. You have to come to him. And whether you're living in the day of these people lived or whether you're in the 21st century, it's the same message, and it's the very same thing. You're never going to have life till you have the bread of life. Because Jesus is the only bread that comes from heaven. After this saying, Jesus, we are told, and the man, and he talks about how that he's the bread of life, and he's the bread from heaven, and they need to come to him and trust in him. And he's trying to get this across, and they're just how they are so materialistically minded. And don't we live in a materialistic minded day? Everything is what can you put your hands on? What can you put in your mouth and taste? And it's all of that. And we're leaving out the spiritual things, the things of God, the things that are going to raise us up at the last day. Because you eat that manna, they ate that manna for 40 years. And when they died and they perished. And when we take that bread from heaven and we die, we live forever. That's what an old pastor said. I'm going to die and I'm going to live forever. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to tell you something, friends. When you read this story, you'll see the multitudes left Jesus. They deserted him. And so many left him that Jesus turned to his disciples. And he says, will ye also go away? Over the centuries, Jesus has lost a lot of disciples. They misunderstood, or the battle was too fierce, or they got their little feelings hurt, or the church didn't do it their way, or for 1,000 different things, they walked no more with Jesus. I've learned that for 75 years. I've heard all of these things, and it makes me sick. So Jesus said to his disciples, will you also go away? Are you going away? To that query, Peter asked a question that has never been answered. Never been answered. He asked a question, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In other words, Peter is saying, if I go away from you, where will I go? Where will I turn? What will I have? If you turn your back on Jesus Christ, where are you going to go from there? If you turn your back on Jesus Christ, how are you going to satisfy your deepest needs? Or else there can be no eternal life. If you turn your back on Jesus Christ, you have no hope in this world or the world to come. That question has never been answered. Because if you don't go to Jesus Christ, where are you going to go? It's never been answered because there is no answer. There is no place and there is no hope. Only a Christless eternity where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's the answer. There is no answer to this question. You will never find satisfaction. You'll never find eternal life until you have Jesus. Clarence McCartney writes such a beautiful passage. I want to share it. I may be speaking to some who have followed Christ but are now tempted to turn away from him. Let me say to you, before you abandon Christ and turn from him, be sure you have someone to take his place. You may have had doubts sown in your mind by some book that you read, by some address you've heard, by some disloyal utterance or act of a professed follower of Christ, or some statement by a proud secular or scientist. But before you leave Christ, you ask yourself Peter's question, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Perhaps I'm speaking to some who have not yet followed Christ. You have not taken him as King and Redeemer and Savior and Lord. If so, well, whom will you follow? If you come to Jesus Christ. And then I want to know, if you reject him instead of Christ, where will you go? No doubt I speak to one who once followed Christ and then forsook him. To you, I say, remember Peter's expression. Yeah, he followed, and then he forgot, say, Christ. But he came back again, and with tears and repentance, he turned from his sins and repented of his sins and asked Christ for forgiveness. and he tried to answer his own question. He failed. There is no place to go. He deserted Christ and he forsook Christ, and there was no place to go but the wilderness and the devil standing behind it. There is no answer. And it is simply this. It is Christ in heaven, or it is rejection in hell. That's all there is to the story. And so I beg of you to come to Jesus right now and ask him into your heart to take away your sins, and he'll do it. And if you do that, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to help us in the work, just ask God, Dear Lord, should we help? Is this something we ought to help? You want us to do it? And you ask him. If he says no, give it somewhere else. Don't hoard it. Give it away. But then if he said yes, you help us. And if you help us, I'm going to tell you something. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit us every year, and we are clean as a whistle. Every penny is used exactly where it should go. You write to us if you want our Bible study or our film. And now I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Somalia. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray, especially for our brothers and sisters in Somalia, that you'll be close to them. We know you will. And help them to know we're praying for them. Be with all who are on beds of sickness today, and the lonely and the weary. Bless those that have prayed for this prayer and opened their heart to you. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now for our shortwave people, here it's again, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I just have to close by telling you, God loves you. I don't care what you've done or who you are or where you live. God loves you. He loved you so much he gave his son, who gave his life. And if you put your faith and believes in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And then all of our people in the Christian Worship Hour, we have a prayer team, we have many workers and staff and the rest. We all love you. That's why we've carried on now for over 40 years, because we love you and want you to come to Jesus. And I want you to know that I love you. I just wish I could pray, give it in a better way, but I've made it as clear as I can. And now the ball is in your court. You've got to make that prayer in your own words, in your own way, for Jesus to come in to be your child, be your son, and be you're the son of God, and you'll be his child. You do that, and I'll see you in heaven, and won't that be something? God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.